Today is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, and you're listening to the Ask a Christian podcast. I'm your host, Nate. All right, we talk about the, there's something we cover at the very beginning. I forget. Anyways, quickly enough, we get into the pastor gets kicked out of men's conference in Missouri, I believe, for calling out the Jezebel spirit of a male stripper performing a sword routine at a Christian men's conference. So let's make sense of that. Then we quickly talk about the Eastern Orthodox priest in Australia, an Eastern Orthodox priest that just got stabbed in the middle of a sermon by a Muslim, and we talk about that. Then we get into Nephilim and aliens, so buckle up. Just a bunch of crazy stuff. Completely off the rails. That's the best I can say. An overview would be 20-foot-tall skeletons, apparently eyewitnessed by some doctor in India who is here talking about it. Chris has 6-inch Yeti living in his freezer who make his ice cubes for him. And the universe is a pancake. So this is some of the fun stuff in store for you today. And yes, that is all. Have fun. Good luck.
Are you speaking?
How you doing? Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I have a question.
Sure.
Because I hear this a lot, you know, the last part of what you said, that is, you know, metaphorical, or some say it's just an allegorical story. But if there's a spirit that we can see when it, you know, comes to people, and it stands there, or it walks past, or it floats past, or even some folks seeing spirits sitting, why do many people tend to say that it's just a metaphor, or it's just a allegorical story, or just something, you know, said just to be said, that God can't sit down, but God can create a universe. God can create human beings. God can create everything that's created, that was made, that he can create. But God, it's impossible for the spirit of God to sit down. It amazes me how, you know, we can take our finite mind and just say what God can or cannot do. Because it never said God in scripture, he can't sit down. It never said God can't walk or anything. But people tend to, you know, not saying you, man, not saying you at this point, not saying you, but just hearing people in Clubhouse City, on Clubhouse Boulevard, in these houses, they just say what God can and can't do. And it just just amazes me to hear somebody say, God is not sitting on his throne. But we see passages where God is on his throne. Now, how he's on his throne, I don't know. But there's one place that says he sits. He's sitting on a throne. But then that's pulled out as just a metaphor of it's really not God sitting, you know. It just wanted to tell you that. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is that deceptive and trying to fool us about who God the Father is. If he says he's sitting, standing, in a cloud, on a cloud, talking from a bush. It is what it is, you see. And it's just something that I just want to, you know, we come up on stage just to sit, man. Be blessed today, brother.
Sure, I think that's a fair point. There's a couple of things, like, you know, the Bible says God can't lie. I mean, is it can't because he can't or can't because he won't, which means he can't.
Right.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I take your point. Yeah, Adam, what?
Yeah.
You brought up what I was going to say. I was going to say, well, there are two things that God can't do. He can't fail and he can't lie. But other than
that,
he can do whatever he wants.
Right. And that's good, too. And I agree with you all on that. He can't lie and he can't fail, you know. But it's just when I hear people say, well, God is not literally sitting on a throne. Have you been there to see it? Didn't that just say he was sitting on the throne? You know, and it amazes me that how people can twist and turn the scriptures. And then it becomes very argumentative, you see, or you're not learned enough. You don't know. You need to go study. Well, the scripture just said he was sitting on the throne. Okay. Now, how he was sitting with his legs crossed, feet, you know, his part of his spirit, you know, sitting up on a cloud or whatever, I don't know. But they said he was sitting down. And that just limits God to what he can and can't do. Lying is not one of them. And being wrong is not one of them. So I don't subscribe to that part right there in what people saying that he can be wrong or he can lie. God is not a man that he should lie, you know. So I understand what you all saying there, but you know, that last part of what you was, you know, just sharing, that's what just brought me up. Normally I would have probably just sat in the audience, man, just to listen to some good word and conversation.
Seven, sure. For clarification, do you think that like God has a body? I mean, I don't mean Jesus because Jesus did become incarnate. God.
I don't know. You know what? What is a celestial body? What does a spirit body look like? You see, I believe that God does have a body. Now, what the body actually looks like, it could be a body of just power. That can be a body. It can be a body of, you know, a celestial looking body. You know, no one's seen God, so we don't know. Not one man has actually seen God, but Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. He's the only person that has seen God the Father. In scripture, it explained.
Was it Abraham or Moses that saw like him as he passed or something like that? Or he saw like a back, yeah. Cloak or garment back? But isn't in Revelation, doesn't it say something like basically God is light, or like there's no need for sun because like, you know, the light comes from God or Jesus, like something in Revelation, like
Revelation like, 21. Yeah. You know, God will be that source of light, but the Lamb will be the lamp.
Yeah, I think just the thing with the body, though, that, like, you know, most Christians traditionally would hold to sort of like a simplicity, or at least I should say most like modern theologians would, right? Because I think the concern is you're going to say that God creates all things, right? God himself really can't be made up of a body that's made up of other smaller materials that's held together like how we have, because that would mean that God is dependent on something else besides himself. It would mean that God as a body, which is even more fundamental, the thing holding his body is even more fundamental than God himself, right? And that we can't have that because God is ultimate. God's the creator. So
if God does create a body, God. Yeah.
What was that? Yeah, so you could say that God, maybe God created a body for himself like how Jesus did, but he's not like, he wasn't originally a body. Maybe he creates one later on and like currently has one, but God himself is not, just like we're not bodies. We're souls that happen to be inside of bodies, but we're not identical to our bodies. So. God has a body, right. He's not equal to his body. He's just encapsulating it, maybe just to appear to people, right?
No, I understand what you're saying with that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he has a physical flesh body, you know, right. You know, in heaven himself, you know, I don't know what it would be like after everything is done and said and Jesus Christ hands the kingdom back over to him. I don't know what everybody would look like. You see, so we're grasping at straws because there's certain things that is said in scripture itself, you know, so we tend to build our own theology or denomination around that to say what it is and what it's not. But in reality, it's probably none of what we all, you know, put our all minds together at one and have one big mind of a human being still can't, you know, understand or know the what's going to take place, you know, in the future as things, you know, is finalized, if you will, by God, by Christ, you know, through the Holy Spirit. So, you know. But it was interesting hearing that. I just want to add that, man, that, you know, why can't God sit down? Why can't God, he said he rested on the seventh day. What did he do? Just, you know, I mean, he could have lied down. Why can't God lay down? You know what I mean? Literally. Why
yeah,
can't
I know. like some people will say, like, you know, God can do everything that is logically possible. Well, why? And then if it's a Christian, they'll say something about, well, God's a God of order and, you know, not chaos or something like that. But I mean, you know, I think, yeah, if the Bible doesn't say, or if the Bible is silent, it's probably wise for us to be silent too. But I think we can, you know, we can hypothesize and come up with, you know, scenarios and things that we think are plausible. But we should be like, hey, the Bible doesn't say this. Like, we're just guessing because, you know, someone asked a question. So here's how that could happen. We don't know if it's true or not. This is what the Bible says, but it's reasonable. So if they're like, well, you know, can a squared circle exist? Well, no, that's contradictory. Can God make a squared circle exist? I don't know. Maybe. So, like, there's a breaking point I think you're touching on that goes from, like, human logic and reasoning, and we're like, okay, well, of course God could do any of this stuff. And then it's like, okay, well, now can God do some stuff that really seems impossible that would, like, break the mind because there's no way that could happen? And they're like, say, well, I mean, maybe, but that's not through our reasoning. At that point, it's because it says with God all things are possible, so maybe that seems things that are completely contradictory and whatever to us. Maybe it's not that they're contradictory. Maybe there's some other dimension or world where this exists. We're like, oh, hey, I see how that happened. I'm looking at it right now. So, I mean, there's like, yeah, what's reasonably sounding that God can do that seems impossible? And then there's what completely seems contradictory and unreasonable. And it's like, well, I don't know. I'm not going to say God can't do something. So, yeah, let's just withhold judgment on that.
Here's one thing right here, Matt. He created water. Man still haven't figured out a way to create water. Man hasn't found out how to create oxygen, you see, or, you know, various things that God truly created to reproduce itself. Man hasn't figured out how to create a human being, you see. You know, they'll take a seed of a woman and a man and put it together and fertilize that seed, but that's still him not creating it like that, like God did. The prototype of you, okay, the prototype of me and every human being, and they produce and reproduce. Man, the body is so fascinating how it's put together and everything about down to your toenails and your fingernails are so magnificent and therefore a reason. And man, we have not been able to figure that part out, you see. But water,
and we probably never will.
And we probably will never figure that out. The muscle capability, how you are built, how the next person or the woman is built, you see, how the mind, the brain operates. Man, the anatomy of a man or a woman is so awesome to me that God did that. And it produced for thousands of years, one seed to another seed. And there we go. And that 9 months later.
Well, speaking of, let's say good morning to all these other seeds who have grown up into people. Hey, CEO, Courtney, right. Random, Jamesy. What's up, guys?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Make the most of your time before Chris can speak.
Good morning. Sorry.
Good morning. Good morning. Chris,
what was that?
I said sorry. I was driving. I didn't see the invite. You said my name. I looked down. I noticed you had invited me. I don't know how long that had been there, but good morning.
Oh, just a minute. So, anything else on anyone's mind today? Did anyone see the Eastern Orthodox pastor that got attacked and stabbed during service in Australia?
Yeah, by the Muslim?
Yep.
Oh, no.
That's crazy. Yeah, no.
I didn't see that. I did see the Mark Driscoll stuff that happened at a church like 2 days ago where he got kicked off stage.
But, oh, yeah, the conference in Missouri. Yeah. I'm sure Chris has something to say about that. But, yeah, I only read a little bit of it. It was on Protestia. It was like, a guy... I forget the denomination or whatever. It was like a mainstream denomination. Maybe I can find him in it. But yeah, so what, one guy, I guess the story was, it was a big men's conference, and one pastor, like the one running the thing, the main guy running it, invited this like performance artist guy who happened to be like a male stripper from Las Vegas, like flew in to do this like thing. And I think the thing they were doing was, you know, fine. But I think it got out that this guy was like a male stripper performer. So that this Mark Driscoll guy got up and started saying, no, why is this guy here? Like, this guy shouldn't be here doing this. And instead of, you know, being like, oh, you're right. I guess the leadership of the conference is like, you overstepped, you're out of bounds. And then they remove the pastor, calling out the male stripper performing.
Yeah. And in fairness, I think that when I had looked into it, it wasn't like, I think stripper was a little bit banal because, I mean, the guy had been on America's Got Talent, right? He was like a sword swallower, kind of like a circus performer, right? And there was an
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that too. Yeah, it's like a variety like show, I guess like...
Yeah, it's not like he strips for, in terms... It's not like explicitly meant to be a sexualized thing in the same way that people would often think of it. So I don't think it was like intentionally meant to be like that. But I, you know, I don't think it's necessarily appropriate for a men's conference. But, you know, there's a discussion whether Mark should have just talked to the pastor in private about this, because this was the day after, right? Or whether it was appropriate for him to go up on stage and say that without having consulted, you know. Like, shouldn't you go to someone in private first, and then if they don't, then go public about it? But I don't know. It's tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. But one, I mean, it's not – I mean, this is like – right, and that's where people conflate all the time, which is good practice. But, I mean, this is not like a church service or a church structure. This is like an extra church conference, right? So you could say, well, I guess church rules should apply or kind of guidelines. But, I mean, it's not like a church order of service in the strictest sense. And yeah, when I said stripper, I mean, it seems like he's a variety act. I remember sword swallower, like I've got the article here, but yeah. So he called out the Jezebel spirit, of the performer. So, accusing the organizers of letting in a Jezebel spirit, by allowing this particular artist to perform. It was, the 2024 Stronger Men's Conference hosted by John Lindell of River City Church. Recently Regrown Toes Miracle controversy. Invited Alex Magala to reform. Magala is a stripper and pole dancer who rose to fame in Britain's Got Talent for dangerous sword swallowing. So I guess it's just the whole shebang. So, I mean, stripper and pole dancer and sword swallower. It's like the trifecta there.
But is he a Christian stripper?
It's on the business card, right? Yeah, it's on
all of the above.
What's interesting is they're calling out the Jezebel spirit of that, but not the Sodom and Gomorrah spirit of it being at a male men's conference. That's weird.
Well, to be fair, I don't think he was doing his stripper thing at the men's conference.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what I mean?
He had his shirt off, but it wasn't sexualized.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of weird. So a known male stripper at an all-men's conference. Like, if my husband showed up to an all-men's conference thinking he's going to be, you know, surrounded by men where they're just discussing the better ways to be a man and be a husband and how to be, you know, a strong leader, et cetera, so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, there's a dancer, and he takes his shirt off, and he's, like, dancing around. My husband's going to be like, what the heck is going on here? And then he later finds out the dude was a male stripper. My husband's probably going to be ready to be, like, throwing fists mad. Like, what? Y'all invited me to a inappropriate Skittle place, and I was unaware of this? And it now looks like I participated? This is, yeah, I think it's
yeah,
a
thing. Yeah, I mean, as much as Christians say, like, you know, they're lacking in the arts, I mean, you know, they have, like, Christian performing arts. Like, you know, it may not be a pole dancing sword swallower, but I mean, you could probably go to a Christian performance arts center and pull out some guy who, you know, follows Jesus, who can, you know, do a good enough performance act to get your point across.
Is it supposed to be like really manly, like, oh, sword swallowing, like this is strength. Look at all, this is what it means to be manly.
I see a picture that I'm assuming is from that event. And yeah, the guy's in like pants with his shirt off, and it looks like a uneven bars, like a gymnast thing. It looks like there's like a bar, like two bars. And he's doing some kind of routine on that. I think the picture shows like a sword in his mouth. So, I mean, I imagine it's like one of those, like, I don't know.
I'm telling you right now, my husband does not want to go watch a guy swallow a sword with his shirt off. This is just
I'm with you. I was about to say, it's like, it reminds me of one of those like Greek things. So it's like, no, we're men. We're just wrestling. We're showing who's stronger. It's like, but you're both naked and covered in oil. They're like, No, we're showing who's stronger. Watch me pin this guy down. Like, wait, no, I'm out. So, like, there's some things. It's like, I don't care how manly you say it is. That may be too manly. No, I'm out. Or it's like UFC. Yeah. It's like,
definition of men, then no thanks. I don't want to be part of it.
Or it's like some of the UFC stuff. It's right. It's like people are like, I'd love to fight. Yeah, I could do that. I'd be great. It's like, wait, what? I got to lay on a mat and like hold another guy and hug him sweating for 5 minutes. I think I'm pretty tough, but no, I'm not going to do that. It's like all the unseen things. It's like, it's really uncomfortable, right? It's like, I know you say this is like a strongman's competition, but no, it's like, you're just not secure. Sure, whatever, I'm out.
Nate, I suggest you enroll in a modern masculinity class at a liberal arts institution.
So you basically say just follow the devil, right? Is that what you just said?
So Dave, I have a question. One, you have a second.
I do. Let me make this note. Yeah. Well, before CEO has a question, which I want to hear. Anyone else hear about the Orthodox guy in Australia getting stabbed? It was like Mari, like whatever. I guess he's like really popular. You know, like this stuff happens all the time in like the UK where they're just used to like, oh, it's par for the course. You know, people are going to stab you. But I guess in Australia, it's kind of doesn't happen enough. So I saw some of the video like before and after as it was happening and afterward. And like there was like a bunch of angry Australians. They were protesting, like doing all kinds of stuff. Like the cops were having to like hold them back from like going after this guy. And like this guy is like so sminding. Like he like jumps up, stabs this priest or whatever. And as he gets tackled, he's just like laughing the whole way down. I'm like, you know, I get the whole be angry and don't sin thing. But man, to be in that moment, that would be putting that to the test. Like,
are you talking about the Assyrian guy?
The one that stabbed the Orthodox guy in Australia. If he's Assyrian, then yes.
No. Oh, you're talking about, wait. Oh,
was there another stabbing?
Yeah, no, really. No, I think there was. It was within a couple weeks apart. It was the second stabbing. I just seen a news thing on it. It said the Muslim guy that stabbed the Assyrian guy that we first started talking about a few moments ago. I think that's a separate event from another stabbing that happened, but I'd have to look it. Let me look it up.
Oh, goodness. And while you're looking that up, we're going to go right to you, CEO. Also, in other news, a different Eastern Orthodox priest curses and anathematizes Calvin, Luther, and all branches of Protestants. So, you know, there's that. It doesn't make a guy getting stabbed right, but, you know, maybe don't damn all Protestants. And also, Chris, see... Look at that. No matter how you don't want to be, you're in the same boat as Arminians. CEO, what's up? What was your question?
Yeah, no, so I was just going to ask you, so Roy yesterday, like at the end, I basically said to him, I said, well, Roy, hey, maybe you're right, or you know, Earth could be 7,000 years old, and the scientific instruments, though, you know, still would point to it being 4.5 years. Maybe both things are the situation. And he was still arguing with me. I just didn't understand why was he still arguing.
Oh, well, here's the thing you need to know about Roy. Whatever Roy says, he puts it forth as absolute truth. And everyone else is like, you mean your opinion, right? And he's like, no, the truth. And then after 30 minutes of arguing how he knows it's truth when it's clearly just his opinion, people will get frustrated and leave. So... It's kind of like when I tell Michael, I'm like, look, man, I'm going to say I know God exists all day long. I know God exists. But then he's like, well, how can you prove that to me? Like in a way he wants to prove it. I'm like, I can't. I'm like, here's what you should do. Like every time we have this conversation without me having to like, you know, nuance everything, I'm going to say I know God exists. But how you should hear that is Nate really, really, really believes God exists. So I'm like, whenever you hear Roy say, like, you know, something is, you know, he knows something is true, like something that obviously no one can know, right? Like the age of the earth or whatever, like in a way that other people want it proven to them. So he doesn't know it that way because otherwise he would have offered proof. So even if someone says, like, I have proof, well, it needs to be proof according to the way the person wants it. It doesn't need to be right or fair or make sense, but that's what they're asking for. So if you can't meet that need, no matter how absurd it is, if you can't meet that need, well, then it's not proof the way they want it. So when you hear Roy assert something as absolute truth, like the Earth is 6,000 years old, you should hear that as Roy really, really, really believes the Earth is 6,000 years old. That's the best I got.
Well, after knowing,
the guy and being friends with him for like 15 years, that's the best advice I got.
But when I say perhaps you're right, why are you still arguing at that point? That's the part.
If you solve that mystery, perhaps. you can you'll be the godfather to my parents. I mean, we don't really do godfather stuff, but no, I wonder that myself about my own children. It's a phenomenon. So I don't have your answer, but I do have other examples. So my kids, like whenever I was growing up, I would like, you know, beg my parents for stuff. And when they'd finally give in, I was like gone. I was like a ghost. If I'm like, hey, mom, can I please go to my friend's house? Can I please? And they're like, no. They're like, after dinner. I'm like, no, can I please? They're like, fine. I bet they're like, wow, where did he go? Like, all I needed was their permission. And when they finally gave me what I wanted, I was gone. Versus my children today, both of them. I am perplexed, the same way you are about your question, CEO. When I tell my kids, I'm like, they'll say, Dad, can I have this guy? This? I'm like, yeah, sure. And they're like, but I really want it this way. And I want that. I'm like, what? I'm like, I just said yes. They're like, I know, but this is why, and this is why, and this is why, and this is why. I'm like, dude, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, I've given you what you want. Why are you still like pressing this issue? Like, the thing you asked for, I've granted. Why are you here? Like, take the win. So I don't have the answer to your question, but I feel your pain because I live with it.
Got it. Thanks.
Courtney, do you have kids, right? Do you have any experience like that?
I do have kids. Yes, I have three. And I am I'm more of a strict parent. Certain things, like when you beg me after I've already given you my answer, then my answer is sufficient for you, kind of.
I agree. But like when you tell them yes, like when you're like, yeah, sure, and give them what they want, do they still like hang around and you're like, I gave you what you wanted. Why are you still here?
I mean, I guess it depends on the context. If it's, hey, like my oldest son, he always wants to go to the basketball court with his friends. And so he's like, Mom, can I go hoop? And I'm like, you did your homework? Yes. Did your chores? Yes. And then I normally have to check it over. And then I'm like, yeah, sure, you can go. And then he's like gone with the wind. So
yeah, that's how I was. I'm like, look, all I need is a yes and I'm out of here.
But I don't know exactly what context, and I didn't hear the original question. Does it relate to religion?
Oh, well, not really. It was just.
Oh, okay.
Well, Chris, now that you're speaking, what's up, Chris?
I just wanted to know if CEO felt like real bad when Mark Driscoll told him to get off the stage.
What? Huh? What happened?
When Mark wanted you kicked off the stage, how did you feel about that?
Were
you
feeling sorry? I did it. I wasn't even aware of that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're in the middle of your performance, and Mark Driscoll's like telling you to get off the stage.
Oh, I gotcha. Thanks, buddy. I didn't even get it at first. I just got it. Okay.
Stick to your sword calling routine. I see, Courtney. Okay, Orthodox man stabbed on Shabbat during Zurich. Or in Zurich by attacker shouting death to Jews. Oh, so a Jewish Orthodox.
Yeah, this is a
okay.
Different one. This is Orthodox, guy, Eastern Orthodox.
I know that.
In Australia.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy in Zurich is a Jew, Orthodox Jew, and the one in Australia, yeah, or Eastern Orthodox, if I didn't make that clear. But yeah, a 15-year-old has been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder. Did you stab him? Were you trying to kill him? Were you shouting, you know, your God is great and whatever? Are you sure you meant to kill him? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel as though the systematic, like, anti-Semitic behavior and things of that nature is more prominent in the UK than it is here. Although I have witnessed it myself. There is this girl, I don't know what her deal is, but let me just preface this. My son is obviously not allowed to hit a female.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
It's open season on everybody else.
My son is told to do everything in his power to avoid confrontation. Now his father, my husband, is like, dude, they step up close to you, knock them right between. So my husband's a little more you know, get physical first, ask questions later. But I'm more of like, let's be analytical. Let's see if, you know, people have bad days. Sometimes, you know, we're all bubbles bumping into one another in this world that we live in. Let's try and be as cordial as possible. Avoid a fight if you can. And so there's happens to be this girl, and she happens to be a different skin tone than him. And so it's weird because she shoved my son the other day and she said, "You stupid Jew." And I asked him, I said, "Did you report this?" And he said, "No, Mom." Like, that's weird. I'm like, it's not weird. That's just as racial as dropping the N-word or saying anything else. Like, you know, if we're in, like, I grew up in Florida, so racial slurs against Spanish-speaking people was much more prominent. And so I said, "Did you report it?" He's like, "No." And I'm like, "All right, well, what are you going to do about it?" And he's like, "I don't know." He's like, "I did tell her, you're lucky you're a girl, though, because I would hit you right between the eyes." And so I guess my point is, I'm not one for saying like there's systematic anything, especially in America, because America's a big melting pot, but we're also spread out that we have room to observe our own religious beliefs without bumping into other people too much. Now, when you start to get in these highly populated areas, that's when you start to see people getting a little intolerant to other people. And with that, I think we are still able to control ourselves a little more because we just tend to throw fists, not knives and guns, although I do admit that it does happen, obviously. But it just seems like every other day there is confrontation in the UK, and it always involves a knife, always, like almost always involves a knife. And I think that's telling. If Americans are allowed to have guns, how come every engagement isn't always with a gun? It's we still tend to settle things with our fist. But I don't know. How do you guys feel about it?
Well, about the don't. This is not real parenting advice. But if we were to play the game of our current culture, I guess you could have your son identify as a girl, knock that girl out, and then be like, "No, now I identify as a boy again."
Yeah.
Not real parenting advice, but I mean, yeah, that would be playing our stupid culture's game. But yeah. I mean, it's a problem with the heart, right? You can't legislate morality. Like, you can only, you know, put people in prison if they do go against the collective will that's on the laws. So, I mean, it's a problem with the heart, right? Because the UK is like, "Oh, guns are too bad. We can't have guns." And, you know, they're outlawed. And now I think even most knives are outlawed. Like, I'm pretty sure most knives are outlawed. Doesn't matter. They're easier to get the guns. So I think that's why you see, like, if all these people had guns, if there was as many guns there as are here, I think you'd see more shootings. But it's like, well, you know, they've taken away all the guns. And it's like, you know, they're like, "Oh, well, let's just do what UK did." No, it's not apples and oranges. UK is much smaller. They've never had the proliferation of guns we have from the beginning. So, you know, trying to say, "Let's do what they did." Good luck. All you're going to do is get some people who care about the laws to give up their guns. You're not going to put a dent in the market of illegal guns out there and unregistered guns. So you're never going to have what the UK did. And if you did, and if you had the same kind of problem with, like, you know, all the people they've let in, which is basically us now, is what, like, something like, you know, I don't know, some people say as many as, I think, like 8 million illegal people have came in the last X amount of years or whatever they say, but a lot, right? So no one can deny it's a lot. And of those, like, I think there was what, like 800 or I don't remember how many people were on the terror watch list. And then of that, there were still like 200 or 300 or 50, I don't remember. It was like 50 to 200 or something. I'm awful at numbers, but who were like legit, like implicated in previous terror attacks. So those are the ones that we know about that got caught. So we're basically, give it a few more years and we're going to have the same type of culture that the UK has from these people coming in who mean us harm. So yeah, you're going to see lots more gun attacks. And if there weren't guns, you'll see a lot more knife attacks.
Yeah, I mean, so the United Kingdom only had 244 deaths from knife attacks, whereas there was like 50,000 incidences. So it's a pretty small percentage versus we had 48,000 gun-related deaths. So I would say,
compared to,
I mean, that's 200x more, right? Our population isn't 200x more than the United Kingdom.
Well, I'd submit to you, that's because most people don't know what they're doing with a knife. I mean, they're just slashing and gashing at, like, your arms and stuff, and you're gonna have defense wounds. One of the worst ways to be
Are you a slashing connoisseur, Courtney?
Clearly.
No, but I
mean, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, one of the worst ways to go out is either gunshot wound to the stomach or knife stab into the stomach. It's one of the most painful, slow, agonizing death. Not only do you end up with sepsis if it takes too long to die because your internals are now bleeding out and into your cavus, like your chest cavity, and it just infects everything, and it's slow and it's agonizing. And if you keep whatever it is that's, you know, stopping the bleeding, it could take a long time to die. So I guess what I'm saying is, whenever you put a bullet through somebody, entry wound is very small, exit wound is very large. So you bleed out and die quicker. Whereas a stabbing, as long as you keep the knife in, if you can get it from the person, you can actually make it to the ED. And as long as they didn't hit any internal organs that they can't save, then you're going to stay alive. So I think it's not necessarily apples to apples comparison as far as the damage one can do versus the other.
Yeah, Courtney, it sounds like you've had a lot of either like paramedic courses or combat courses or like prepper courses or something like that. So, yeah, good on you. Sounds like you're pretty versed in this stuff.
Yeah. Malone Levé.
Huh?
I said, yeah, Malone Levé.
CEO, so you're better at numbers than me. We may not be 200 times the populace of Britain, but if they have like, what, 9 million people and we have like 330 million people, how many more times is that than they are?
Well, I just want to get the accurate number on the United Kingdom. They have 67 million people. So we have about 340
million. 67 million people? Oh,
yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of Sweden.
Yeah. What about just England? We have 5X. So we only have 5X the population of them.
What about just England?
Well, the numbers I gave you were United Kingdom, so it would be a cheat.
Answer my question, CEO.
Oh, got it. All right. England population. Got it. Let's see. England's population is 56 million.
Wow. Okay. I guess I was thinking Sweden's got to be like 9 million, right?
Or you might have been just thinking of London by itself.
If London, I can't imagine one. I don't know. I'm done guessing. Okay, hang on. I can chat GPT-2.
Sweden's population is 10 million.
Okay. I was thinking Sweden. Anyways, so Courtney, are you like out on the weekends doing like survival training, like, you know, painted up like Rambo and like running through the woods and mountains and stuff?
Yeah, I used to train with local law enforcement and military, but since my second born son, Noah, was born with a heart defect, I don't get a whole lot of training in anymore. I used to do a lot of close quarters combat and black box training and things like that. So I, you know, we down here where I live, we love our guns.
You love your guns, know how to use them, right?
Yes. Yes, everybody, like even my 12-year-old is qualified 600 yards out, and he's deadly, so.
Chris, better be careful how you talk to her.
Yeah, you know.
You're in Florida, Chris, but you strike me as a type
that you may be in Florida
and not have guns.
I do not own any guns, no.
I knew it.
Yeah, mainly because I'm an idiot.
But I bet you have lots of torches and pitchforks.
I own 2 pitchforks, and I own 0 torches, but I could probably construct some torches.
It's not because you're a pacifist, Chris? That's not the reason?
No, it's because I'm an idiot.
Well, rectify that situation.
Yeah. Know yourself, kids.
I was gonna say, where I live, you know, we believe in guns too. I just bought one a couple months ago, and for some reason, my dad, I don't understand how he does this, but he got his name put in a drawing or a raffle for a gun like 2 years ago, and like every so many months, they draw names again, and he got put in like 2 years ago. They keep putting his name back in the raffle. He's won like 4 or 5 guns out of this raffle.
We've won like two doing that. It's great. It's great.
Hey, I'm a Second Amendment maximalist. I believe that private citizens should be able to own nuclear weapons.
I believe I should be able to, and no one else should.
I'm just saying, man. Like, peace through superior firepower.
Sounds like something one of your former presidents you admire so much said, which I happen to agree with.
Yeah.
Peace through strength. Right. Hey, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Correct, Annie Oakley.
Is that who said that?
I mean, I don't know who originally said it.
I know that name. Who is that? I know that name.
Annie Oakley was she started out as just a little country bumpkin from the sticks, and she really impressed this guy with her ability to shoot, and she became a nationally known wonder as a marksman because of her husband, who was a producer promoter at the time, and I can't think of his name, but he actually got rich off of her ability. But the funny thing was, is he was trying to show himself the best marksman, but she came and outshot him at one of his shows, and so he married her and made money off of her.
If you can't beat him, join him.
Does Chris? Does Chris live in the blue hue part of Florida?
Yep.
Yeah, I figured.
I hear there's lots of nightclubs where you know, maybe he can catch that performer from the sword swallowing thing up.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think about that?
Bounce. Is this one of those times he can't talk and can't defend himself? You know, it's like people, like, whenever people say, like, quote statistics, I hate statistics about this stuff, because there's the intangibles, right? So someone's like, you know, Jay in chat says, UK is a much safer place to live than the States. So maybe statistically, sure. But it's like when people say, you know, about driving, right? Like, airplanes are safer than driving. Statistically, yes. But realistically, who is behind the wheel, right? So it may be much more dangerous if you're a 16-year-old girl. Sorry, 16-year-old girls, if you're not like this. But for all the 16-year-old girls who are like this, who are, you know, texting, talking on their phone, putting on makeup while they're trying to drive and, you know, like drink a smoothie while they're driving 85 down the interstate, that may be much more dangerous than you, because you're either going to get yourself in a wreck or not pay attention to someone else. Versus someone who, you know, is more competent, who, you know, someone who's paying attention, hands at 10 and 2, driving on the road, they have a better chance. Yes, you can't control other drivers, but right there, you're 50% better, or more, because, I mean, if you're a safe driver, then statistically, by that, you're not likely to get in an accident caused by yourself, because you're paying attention. So you're statistically better than a lot of people right there. And that, in turn, you can't control the other drivers, so that's true, there is a chance, but you're in a much better space than at least half the other drivers on the road. So things like that. And it's like, anyway, so I don't really like statistics. So it's like, if people, you know, people in like New York City or whatever, where they're so scared of the idea of owning a gun or touching a gun while someone else gets a new legal gun and comes and murders them, then yeah, stats may be good for that person. Maybe move out of the city or something. But for, you know, people like, I would rather trust myself to live in a statistically more dangerous place, but have the ability to defend myself and my family on my own, instead of living somewhere statistically where it may be safer, but having to rely on police that won't show up, or you'll be dead by the time they get there. Because, you know, what is it Stalin said? Like, maybe the one good thing he ever said, or maybe not good, but one accurate thing he said was, you know, when one man dies, it's a tragedy. When 10,000 die, it's a statistic. I'd rather be the one man who has the ability to defend themselves and have that chance and take my life into my own hands, rather than be part of the statistic that's like, oh, well, the statistics weren't on their side.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a matter of perspective. I mean, like, the truth of the matter is there's been zero commercial airline deaths the last 10 years, and 400,000 people have died in car accidents. So
that seems
pretty obvious.
No. You said zero airplane
deaths.
Yeah,
the last commercial, I said commercial, not private. Commercial. The last commercial airplane death was in 2009, Continental Flight 3407. So zero commercial deaths, 400,000 car deaths. These numbers are not close, but I can understand you saying if, like, hey, I feel more comfortable driving 8 hours than flying. I mean, that's your personal preference. It's fine.
Thank you. Tell my wife that, please. Like, look, Nate, if I can't drive there, I don't need to go there.
Nate, I do want to speak on something that you mentioned about driving. You know, I'm a truck driver, right? And so, you know, it's my duty to be professional, get the product to where it needs to get and all that stuff, tractor, truck, and trailer, right? And, you know, it just, it really gets to me that, you know, like you said, these, you know, and it's not only like teenage girls, like there's people that just don't pay attention. I mean, the other day I was driving down the highway, right? And this lady comes up and swerves into my lane and cuts me off and everything, sitting there putting on her makeup, talking on her cell phone, eating a cheeseburger, driving with her knee. Man, it made me so upset. I had to slam on my brakes and almost spilt my whole bowl of cereal in my lap. I was just like, why people?
Yeah, and Nate, I guess that is the one consideration about it, is that you are not subject to just your control. You're subject to the will of other people, right? So people could just drive crazy and it impact you. On a flight, it's a trained pilot.
Not anymore. Maybe once upon a time when, you know, qualifications mattered, but now, like, oh god, I just saw this video. It was like someone got on the speaker. It was like instead of even trying or to have a little bit of shame, like there's this video circulating. It's like, and it was the pilot, and it's like, I'm a DEI hire. If that makes you nervous, you need to get off right now. It's like, wow, like you don't just know it and like keep your head down and are just like happy to get in, even though you're maybe not like qualified, just because of, you know, this DEI loophole. But you're so proud about it, you're going to, like, flaunt it in front of everyone and be like, if that makes you uncomfortable, get off the plane. So maybe people were trained once. But also, you've seen, like, almost near-air collisions, right? Like, there have been a few of those things. A few, granted. But where, you know, planes, like, almost hit each other or run in and, you know, they avoid it, but still. But, yeah, I mean, that's what you're saying. And I would still rather take that chance and me be in somewhat of control. So it's like if I see a car across the road, which actually happened a couple months ago, I was on the way down the road, and this car was coming over a bridge the wrong direction. It was two different bridges. One was going north, one was going south. So it was a very divided highway, two bridges. So one car had got on the wrong road on the other side of the bridge, and they were coming barreling over the bridge. I'm like, what the heck? And turns out it was an old lady who was like having a medical issue, and she was just freaked out. Anyway, she was coming over the bridge. And I'm like, well, crap. So lots of other cars were parked and pulled over, and I'm like, she's not going to stop for them. So I'm like, she's not stopping. I know she's not. So I went to the far edge of the bridge and the turning lane and, you know, just kind of matched opposite speed with her. So as she was coming and veering left, I was speeding up and going right so I could get away from her before, you know, hopefully she had time to grab the wheel and just yank it into me. So anyway, it doesn't make it right or wrong, but I prefer having that level of control. So I don't know. That's just me. It's just like a personality type or something. Even if it's statistically more dangerous, I would rather have the tools to, you know, control my own destiny. So it's like you hear how you have to, like what people say, like if you're driving a motorcycle, it's like if you drive a motorcycle, the only way to do it is like drive aggressively. Not like to be a jerk. That's not what they mean. But it's like you can't drive defensively on a motorcycle because you'll die. So like if you like, you know, do everything very cautious, very slow, someone's going to run into you. So the idea of like drive aggressively doesn't mean like you're a jerk or breaking the laws, but it means like have your head on a swivel, be looking where all the cars are so you can like navigate preemptively, like get ahead, slow down, move over, weave through traffic. Like that's what it means. So, I mean, anyway, that's my pitch. Fly on airplanes. CEO, if you have a private plane one day, maybe you do now. If you take me on, I'll fly with you.
I appreciate that, Nate. And I hope to one day have enough money to have a private plane, though I would not buy one.
But would you let Phil Denver fly you around?
Dude, no, absolutely not. See, that's what we're talking about right there. He would probably crash both of us into a mountain just to take me out. I'll have to think about that, Chris.
Hey, Nate, yeah, I've always wondered, how come, so, you know, we talk about flying and stuff like that and everything. How come none of the airplane companies or anything haven't, like, tried to put that song, I Believe I Can Fly, like, in, like, a commercial or something for them somewhere? Like, you've never heard that. Like, it's talked about, you know, with other things, but you've never heard a commercial airline make a commercial where they say, I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh my goodness. Nate, can I say something and it not be recorded?
I guess that would be similar to an ambulance company putting staying alive as their theme song, which, by the way, that's the beat that you want to do chest compressions.
Oh really?
Yes.
What is the beat? Is it like 78 or something, or what is it?
No, it's just because if you go too fast, the heart doesn't have a chance to fill back up with blood before you press and it push the blood out. And if you go too slow, then you're not getting the proper pressures in order to distribute the blood to obviously keep gas exchange going and the person alive. So it's it's dun 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 dun. Basically,
yeah, I was asking if you knew what beat that was, like 78 beats per minute or something. But anyways,
beats per minute. Oh, I'm sorry. No, yeah.
It's a lot more than that, isn't it?
But CEO asked something a second ago.
Yeah, Nate, I was just going to ask you, can I say something and you make sure it doesn't get to the recording?
Well, unfortunately, I'm in a Fortnite battle and the recording's on my computer, so I can't promise that.
Oh, I got that.
I'm curious though. Can you say it in a way that can be recorded, or text me?
Oh, yeah, okay, thank you. All right, so there was a song that was just referenced by a person that's very controversial. This person's sister reached out to us last week to do PR work for him, and we had to politely decline.
Wait, someone's song that was just... There was only two songs, and
uh-huh. And one is by a very controversial person.
I'm trying to think.
yeah.
Okay.
Now you got it.
So the I thought you were originally saying the girl singer, but no. Her name
rhymes with jelly.
Yeah, I got it. And wait, you declined her because of the ills of a family member?
No. She wanted us to do the PR for him.
Oh!
He wants to make a comeback and tell his story.
Oh. And what was your reason, like, just...
We just went with, we don't specialize in crisis PR.
Okay. Is he... It, well, gosh.
That's a good save. That's a really good save. We don't specialize.
So if it rhymes with jelly, does that mean that their name's Kelly?
I cannot say.
No, I don't want you to. I was just making a joke because I know you said it's you divulged and stuff. I was just trying to make a
what
joke.
What was the song? Somebody tell me the song.
You don't know the song?
No, what was it?
Can we say that again?
Yes, you can say that again.
I believe I can fly.
Oh. Okay.
But wait, are we saying this person is, if they're making a comeback, does that mean for when they're released, or are they somehow released already?
They just want to tell their story now. We didn't like have the full conversation with her to understand the context of it, but he wants to tell his story now.
Gee, wonder how that'd go. Like, I didn't do it.
It wasn't me.
That's funny.
Different artist, but still.
Yeah. Got me crossing state lines. Wasn't me. Got him in my trunk. Wasn't me.
All right.
Well, what next?
We have a human. We have a human on panel.
Oh, human? Where's human? Hey, what's up, human?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you. I just came here to, ask something. Seeing this topic, ask a Christian. So I thought to have some questions to be asked.
Sure. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm having a confusion. Are we using a Bible which is authentic? How can we prove that the Bible we are using is authentic, since it is its original scriptures are omitted or lost in translation? Are we reading the original which we are supposed to read, which imparts the real wisdom of God?
Well, there's a lot of interesting pathways I'd like to go down, but I'll just point out a few things first, and then maybe someone else can talk. But for one, maybe if you have a different religion that says you have to follow a certain book and it has to be written, where there's no differences or no flaws, and maybe the reason they have unification in their whole book is because a few centuries ago they got all the different copies and burned them. So that's why they have unification. In Christianity, it's a little bit different. So one, the same Bible that we have, like we have, the animal skins that Moses wrote on, or something like that. But we have animal skins of like Old Testament passages currently on display in like a British museum. So we do have the originals for many, many, many things. Also, we have so many copies, verbatim, intricate copies of every text, every mate, like thousands of them. Turns out these scribes and scholars were pretty good at their jobs. So that would be why. So we have the same stuff now that they've always had. A few differences you could find would be, there's like Alexandrian and Byzantine text, if you care about that. And some of those can vary slightly. And whenever you compare them with the thousands and thousands of copies that all say exactly the same thing, and then there's one copy that says something different, it's very easy to tell which ones are legit copies and which one is different than all the others that have been passed down through time. One more thing, the part of the Bible, I don't know what the entire part of other holy books are, but the entire message of the Bible is repent and believe the gospel, how you can have eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you believe that, repent of your sins. Stop doing what you shouldn't be doing anyways, and ask him to give you eternal life and forgive your sins, you will have it. And that thing is unmistakable, and it's not just written a few places. It's written over and over and over again all throughout the Bible. So the ultimate point of the Bible, nobody can mess up. The most they can do is say they just don't believe it, but there's no way to mistake that or think it was a bad copy. The last thing I'll say is we're told from the Bible that, whenever someone believes in Jesus and asks him for forgiveness and salvation, this Holy Spirit will live with that person and lead them and guide them into all truth and understanding. So even if someone did not have a Bible, they could still have eternal life in Jesus if they just heard the message that, hey, there's a God, he created the world, he created everything. There's this thing called sin that separates you from God. It's all the bad stuff you do and you know you shouldn't. But Jesus came from heaven to earth. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. If you believe that and ask him to save you, he will, and you'll be forgiven, and you'll live with God forever in heaven one day. If you didn't have any copy of any Bible and just heard that message and did those things, then you would be saved, and you would have God with you, personally leading you from that day forward the rest of your life on what is right and what is true. That's all I've got to say. You want to respond real quick, and then maybe someone else has something to say?
Yeah, what is it about the faith and the life in faith? But I was asking about the authenticity of the book. From that book, we developed the faith, right? I was actually reading the book of Jude, and in the 14th verse, we see Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about this remote generation that Lord is coming with thousands and thousands of holy angels to judge everyone. So that version says about Enoch, the seventh from Adam. So if Jude wrote about Enoch,
he's the breaking up.
From Adam, yeah. There must be some kind of scripture available. Yeah. There must be, there must be some kind of writings which Enoch made, and Jude must have read that, and he must have, wrote it in this letter.
You were breaking up really bad. I just let you go to see if maybe someone else knew what you were saying enough to respond. But Chris, did you happen to hear that? Because, you were having a bad connection, but I thought maybe...
I did not hear it.
Well, it was something about, he was reading in Jude, and something about Enoch being the seventh descendant from Adam, I think. But, Human, do you want to get in a better area and try again? It was really bad reception.
Is it clear now?
Say a whole sentence.
Yes. I was reading the book of Jude, the letter of Jude. In the 14th line it is written, the 14th verse is it written, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with the thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone. It's a prophecy done by Enoch, the seventh from Adam. What is my point is, if Jude want to write something quoting from the book of Enoch, there must be such kind of a book available during the time of Jude. From that reference, he must have written this particular lines. So we don't have Book of Adam in the Bible. Book of Enoch in the Bible. Why don't we have the Book of Enoch in the Bible? Since Jude is using this reference there, we must be having the reference, right?
Well, no. Other people... Oh, go ahead, Chris.
So there's lots of stuff. There's the assumption of Moses was quoted by Jude as well. It doesn't mean that these extra biblical books should be canon because a biblical writer references them. They're simply cultural references that would be familiar to Jews at the time. And so they're not an endorsement of these books as canonical. That's a different discussion. The discussion about what is canonical, what is not canonical, had already been had long before Jude was born. The Old Testament canon was closed. So the idea that simply because a New Testament writer quotes something doesn't make it canon. Paul quotes pagan poets. That doesn't mean that Epimenides is writing Holy Writ. It just means that there's a cultural observance to that writing.
Did you get that, Human?
When you use the word canonical, again, are you suggesting or referring the word ecclesiastical or canonical? When you say canonical, there must be an authority who makes it canonical, right? Or
no.
All on a sudden, it is not a canonical stuff on
no,
an
no,
auspicious
no.
day.
Canon is not determined by an authority, okay? Now, authorities can acknowledge canon, but to say that canon is established by an authority is incorrect. The canon of Scripture, or what we consider Scripture, was not established by humans. When Paul wrote Romans, the moment it flowed out of the pen onto the parchment, it was Scripture. It wasn't declared Scripture by some human authority.
Did you have anything else, Human? Or did anyone else want to say anything?
Yeah, as I have seen this references of fallen angels and the impregnated human woman and about the hybrids, Jains and all, which is seen in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, the same reference we can see in the book of Enoch. About the names, the fallen angels' name and all is written Tamil, Kokabil, Ramil, and all,
And right. So again, there's no hybrids. No, there's no demons. The sons of God simply meant the people that are coming from righteous tribes of Seth. That's all. Like there's no angels mating or demons mating with human women. That just is not a thing. It's nonsense.
Then how their height and their size became abnormally gigantic? How can...
Like, what do you mean? You mean like 6 foot tall people in a world full of 5 foot one people? I mean, we have basketball players that are abnormally tall. That would be quite scary if you're 5 foot tall.
I mean, Andre the Goliath. No.
Wait, Andre, did you say Giant? Andre the Goliath?
Yep.
It's Andre the Giant, dude.
Nate.
Wait! Nate. Do you guys not know I was doing that on purpose?
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
Because Goliath was like a really, really tall guy. Come on, give me credit. No, Goliath was like a really, really tall guy back then, right? Andre the Giant was exceptionally tall and big in modern times, so it's not hard to see. Like, we don't need like fossil records or anything like that. It's like, well, look, we have abnormally, and like the Chinese basketball player that's like really tall, even for basketball players, he's like what, almost like 8 feet tall or something. So, I mean, it's very easy to see how, yeah, in a world where other people were shorter by average than they are now, the exceptions to the rule, the ones that were really big, seemed really big. So just like Andre the Giant, like, goodness, I'd probably come up to like, you know, I don't know, like halfway up the guy's chest.
A real story, not a real story, which I have experienced in my personal life. So, a forest in India, where the, you know, we have an old ancient structure. It's not a temple, but an ancient structure. People used to say that there is something which is hidden down over there. So, with the help of some tribals, we excavated the area. We were expecting something, you know, precious, but we couldn't see anything. But there was a tomb, you know, which is about 27, you know, feet measure in length. It's very big. And we could see a skeleton. And if I explain, that skeleton was, you know, the head, the skull was actually about 3 feet. 2.5, around 2.5 is the width of that, you know, from one ear to another ear. That is what the size of the head, and you know, such a big massive structure. And we informed the government of, you know, the local government, that area was actually classified. See, if a human being mate with another human being, there will be adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine, the basic protein, you know, base proteins are there. That makes sense. There will be 6 feet or 7 feet maximum, or 7.5, or sometimes it can also happen. Maybe, okay. But this is particularly more than 25 feet. How that can happen? And the other brother is saying that only the human beings mating, and the basketball players, no example, that don't justify and substantiate. There are giants. I myself saw with my own eyes. That is why I pointed this question. Got it.
Let me see if I get this right. You saw 25-foot people walking around?
It's a skeleton. A skeleton.
A skeleton of a 25-foot person.
Immediately, the government, actually, the ancient times in India, there are many stories about these, you know, ancient giants in India.
Do you have, like, a photograph of this skeleton?
If that is, you see, this is all highly classified. And
Want,
I can.
I have a Yeti that lives in my freezer. He's real tiny, but he's really cool.
Yeah, do you?
It's good. He like keeps me from eating ice cream. He like snaps my snaps at my hand if I try to pull the ice cream out of my freezer.
Chris, can you get me one of those?
Yeah, man, it's like 6-inch tall Yeti. They're pretty awesome. They just live in your freezer, and you can talk to them. They're very talkative. Mm-hmm. But you know, you have to keep the freezer door open.
Well, I'll play along. So, human, what do you do that allows you to have access to such classified material? What is your profession?
I'm a doctor by profession. I do visit various places. As part of our projects, which is taken by government, we visit tribals, we visit, you know, people, communities. As part of this visit, they took us, sir, there is a particular location. Could you please do something?
Oh, hold on. Let's call Prashant up. Hey, Prashant, your countryman here has got some questions for you.
And before we completely go off the rails, I mean, you know, let's just say, like, it's not even us, you know, trusting that, you know, you saw something. Let's just grant you that and say, you know, 25-foot people, 100-foot tall people, any other anomaly, you know, basically anything that seems to defy nature or defy logic or anything like that. Let's just grant that existed. So 20-foot people, you know, angels, fallen angels, mated with human women. Let's just say, fine, we'll concede that. And it happens and no one disputes it. Well, fine. All that would mean is that I guess Chris needed to have a different interpretation of the Nephilim or fallen angels or something like that. So fine. That doesn't have anything to do with the ultimate point of the Bible, which is salvation and eternal life in Jesus. So even if you know, the Nephilim or these giant things were true, fine. That has nothing to do with anything. That just means Chris had a faulty interpretation of one very, very, very obscure passage of scripture that has nothing to do with salvation. That's all that would mean. But the real question is, what are you going to do with the thing that is unmistakable in the Bible that is constantly harped on over and over and over, which is you're all dying and on your way to eternal hell unless you just accept this gift of God and repent and believe Jesus. That would be my big takeaway. Because nothing else matters, whether there's tiny Yetis in Chris's fridge, whether there's giant skeletons in India, none of that matters.
Nate, this is a groundbreaking conversation. So I just want to know, like, are you sure that this wasn't like an alien that was 25 foot tall? Did they verify it was a human? I just want to know more about the 25 foot tall being.
I can tell you. See, I'm a person from India, from Kerala, South India. I'm a doctor, a registered doctor. And I speak with authenticity and clarity in what I speak. In this community, I come and I speak with that kind of assurance in my words. And I don't want to make a cooked up story to invite your attention. That is not the point of discussion. Here, something is there. And a place like, you know, hill area in Tamil Nadu is Chennai. Chennai, you might have heard about. Kerala is one part, southern part, the peninsula, and Tamil Nadu is other part. In between, we have a hill area. There is an area known as Kodai Canal. Kodai means snow, the snow canal. The Kodai Canal, there is a government-preserved classified area, which is actually considered as an alien spaceship hit area. Even your people from America, they also came here from NASA with some classified group of people where I have some alliances. I was luckiest to go with them and see the site. What I have seen was astonishing. When you say that these are all cooked up, you know, stories.
I am a person who
saw my own. Yeah. So that is the reason. We know Bible. We read it. From Genesis to Revelation, we read it. That's okay, fine. But what we read, which has been changed from centuries and centuries, what we read, a book which is written in a phonological language, translated to a phonological language, what we read, translationally, lost the meanings of the words.
I have one last question before I have to run. So is there any connection between these alternate Bible scriptures you're familiar with and the 25 feet tall beings?
These are all hidden informations classified under the control of governments and authorities. That is one part. When we go for the Bible and revelations, again, there are certain authorities to the majority of the control, and they decide to write it in such a way, in such a language, in such, you know, words to impart the meanings. How far we are sure that the particular veil is showing the real meaning which is written in the ancient time? For example, God created heavens and earth. Simple. In simple standard English version, we read it exactly what was written. I was having a reference with the Hebrew ancient transliteration and translation for original version. It says, Elohim, with his eternal wisdom, formed Eretz, it is a plural, Eretz and heavens.
So I'm sorry, I have to run, but Chris, can I trust you to get to the bottom of all this for us?
Yeah, I guess my next question for you, human, would be something like, what is and where is Atlantis, and is the Garden of Eden still with us?
You're all awful.
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Like, where is Atlantis, and where is the Garden of Eden still with us? And if so, where is that located?
Definitely. That question is a very short question, but requires a wide answer. Because the human faculty of cognition, the spiritual cognition, is lost due to certain interventions. You know, maybe that is a demonic intervention, a satanic or Luciferian in deception. See, we have lost our original cognitive faculty, a divine, glory, which is imparted in us. When we lost the Ruach Elohim Kodesh, we became mortal beings. In that case, with the, lost cognitive ability, diminished cognitive ability, we are not able to see certain things. If I say a particular geographic location, that will be a foolishness from my part. I cannot prove it because none of us are able to see this, right? But definitely,
So there's like definitely not a norm, there's not like a normal location. It's like in a dimension that we no longer have access to that visual spectrum.
Oh, that is why it is written in the book of Genesis that God appointed angels, to guard and protect, the area. So to guard and protect the area means what? If suppose an angel is there guarding it, definitely he or she or that being can hide the access of humans from there, right?
So would there be like a key or something? Could we find like a key that we could get access to, like, either Atlantis or the Garden of Eden? Is there, like, a key somewhere? And maybe it's a spiritual key. I don't know. Can you help me out with that?
Should I speak or some of the...
No. I was asking you. I was saying, is there a key somewhere that we could procure that we could actually enter Eden or Atlantis so that we could partake in that again? Is there a spiritual key, or is this a physical key, or is it a little bit of both? What would you say?
Whatever your name, Daddy or Christian, brother.
Yeah, Daddy's fine. You can call me Daddy.
I have one Daddy, man. So, brother, this is what I can say. Since we have lost our spiritual faculty orientation to see through the clarity of vision, since we have lost it, it is highly impossible to access all those things. That is what I believe. But one thing, with the reference to the ancient mythology of India, there are 14 heavens, 7 lower heavens. It is the mythological things. That is what actually written here. I'm just giving a reference. I'm not going to believe that, but this is what I have read it. This is actually 7 lower dimensions and 7 upper dimensions. And in the 7 lower dimensions, we have Atala, means Atlantic, Vitala, Vitalantic, Atala, Vitala, Tutala, Talatala, Patala, Naraga, means hellish. So when we read the references correlating the ancient scriptures of Hebrew, we can see certain similarities in certain areas.
Well, how many hells are there? Because Michael is in all of them right now.
If there
every
is
single
a,
one.
Then, see, anyone can intrude because I think I am taking much of your time. See, what I have learned, if there is 7 heavens, there must be the opposite 7 there. It is written in the Bible, when evil is cast out from a person, he goes and he searches for the places where he can dwell, where he gets some breeze and cool, but he comes back with the 7 other powerful than him. So when I was thinking, why 7 other? Because though there must be some 7 dimensions of those, evil beings to dwell in. There are 7 angels, right? Archangels. There are 7, churches. There are 7 guardian angels for the churches. 7 is a number there. Yeah. There must be 7 dimensions.
Hey, human, did you know that Todd on stage, he met one of the guardian angels in a vision?
Brother, I didn't get you. Please, could you please repeat?
I said that Todd here on stage, he met one of the guardian angels in a vision. His name was Mark. It's a strange name for an angel, I get, but.
I
well,
enjoy
hey,
you.
Do you?
Not a problem. Do that.
So I saw, and I want, yeah, Todd and Michael, I have a question for you, and Mir. You need to give us a lesson in the Nephilim. okay, so I saw this thing. Where did Noah keep his bees?
Where every good beekeeper does.
Is that a serious question?
It's a joke. Where did Noah keep his bees?
Oh, okay, yeah. Noah was... Okay, I'll play along. Where?
In the Ark Hives.
That's terrible.
Wow, that's a good dad joke. I'm using that.
I gotta say though, I got Todd beat because when I was at one of the Jehovah's Witnesses convention, I met one of the Anointed, someone who knew that when this system ends, that they're gonna be an angel in heaven. So I got Todd beat there. What's interesting? You talk about the number 7 because, like this morning when I grabbed my protein shake, I had 7 left. So that's interesting too. This whole like numerology thing is weird. I'm curious what people think because Fox News projected they had a numerologist on. Apparently, April 23rd, next Tuesday, is
what? No, they did not.
They absolutely did. It's in their archives. I found it in their archives page on their website.
Can you share the link? And do you know the guy's name?
Sure. Yeah. All they said was numerologist says April 23rd is the start of Armageddon. So there's that.
At least he's not predicting the rapture. So
which okay. of course is bunk, right? Because that's just not a thing. Thing that I found super interesting is
what happened if nukes did fall on April 23rd. You'd be really red faced then, wouldn't you?
Sure. Yeah.
From radiation.
I have egg on my face.
No radiation.
Yeah, and when and on Wednesday when nothing happens, we'll come on and discuss how nothing happened. Then the other thing that I found super interesting.
TM90 that you're ingesting.
Michael had another interesting thing.
Sleepy Dawn. Your Mandarin Mussolini fell asleep, 3 times during the opening day of his trial? I found that really funny.
Dude, I would have fallen asleep. I would have fallen asleep the first hour. Like, oh, that's, you know, I have almost lost. Like, I'm trying to stick it out and fight the good political fight until, you know, the time the election should take place. But man, I have almost lost the will. It's like if people can't see how just corrupt and corrosive and disgusting and illegal all of this stuff is, one side versus the other, if people can't see that and be like, wow, it is not about one guy anymore. This is like the kind of things that destroy countries, literally, actually destroy them, like corrupt judges, corrupt systems, corrupt everyone. If you can't see that and you even need someone to try to explain it, you're too far gone. We can't help. So, I mean, if things go awry, in my humble opinion, on, you know, November this year, during the election, I think that's what I'll resign to. And just like, yeah, guys, whatever you say, I no longer care. Because I think we'll be too far gone to have any sort of walk back from. But I'm almost there now. It's like, guys, it doesn't matter. Your personal feels got hurt about one guy that has more spray tan than you think he should have. If you don't see how evil the other side is doing this to him and all these other people, as a like prerequisite to see how much crap they could get by with, and if it works, they're just going to slide that scale down and start doing it to lesser and lesser people, normal everyday people, until it's just like a prison kingdom. I don't even care to fight anymore. Just, you're too far gone for help. Anyways, on a happier note, Mir, what's up? There were some questions about the Nephilim. How tall are you? Maybe you're one of their descendants.
I can't disclose my height.
25 feet.
I mean, I think your explanation was pretty good. It's an esoteric verse. We don't need to like get too confused about it. And it's really not the main point. I don't know why people focus in on that. I guess because it's interesting and like supernatural, but it's definitely way too much over focus on exactly what the Nephilim are. There are Midrashic sources if you want to talk about it, but they're not like super important or super.
Prashant, hey, welcome. How are you? And thanks, Amir.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good.
So, Prashant, have you, when you were in India, did you see any 25-foot people?
Only how tall one are safari. You?
Wait, how tall are you, Prashant?
On safari.
I'm 6 foot two. 6 foot two.
I'm a Wait, are you a doctor with security clearance?
Yeah, I don't think he is. He's a Fed, though. Prashant works on the HARP satellite that changes the weather.
Prashant, are you from South India?
No.
Where?
Are you from India at all, or did Chris just miscountry you?
Miscountry? Yeah, my family moved here in 2007. But yeah, okay. I was born there.
You're from?
Okay, give us 30 seconds of you guys conversing in Hindi.
You just assume he speaks Hindi?
Listen. Louis the 14th left to collect dwarves as well.
This is why I got a 6-inch Yeti in my freezer.
I don't even know what to do.
I love cryptids.
But Chris is in another form this morning.
Oh, yeah. I was at a client the other day, and this is one of my favorite clients, and this lady is, she's from Puerto Rico, and she always apologizes for her English, which I've never had any trouble with her English. She speaks fine English, but she's just insecure about it. And she said something about goats, and I said, oh, yeah? And I was like, what about the chupacabra? And she started laughing so hard, and she's all like, that's a myth, you know? And she was like, she's like, is that the right word? And I'm like, yeah. And it was a great conversation, man. She was
all about the chupacabras. You should have been like, no, not myth. Myth means true. No, what you want is fact. Chupacabra is fact. That means what you're trying to say. That's fake. I mean, of course,
now,
you would have been a liar.
That would just be me.
But that would have been so funny.
She would have gone home and asked her husband, and he would have told her that I was messing with her.
Oh, that would have been so funny, though. Treat Chupacabra as fact.
The Chupacabra is as real as the universe is flat.
The universe is flat.
The universe is flat.
Which one?
What do you mean?
Prashant has a physical universe, right? Don't screw with him on physics. We'll be here all
the... It's very nearly flat. Very nearly so. Okay, let me retract the statement. All right. It's not perfectly flat, but it is very, very, very nearly flat.
I was just asking which universe you were talking about.
The one in which we find ourselves.
Do you think there's more than one?
The one that has multiverse? The Yetis that live in my freezer.
The one where Chris is a good saint?
No, the multiple universes only exist in the split personality, multiple personality disorder brains of atheists.
Oh, look, Meyer and Michael are calling each other right now.
That's, you know, silly work interruptions, terrible things.
Aren't you close to retiring?
I told you. I think I told you last year that I was 3 years away, so now I'm about 2 years away.
All right.
Then I'll have my full woke government pension.
If it's still there.
Oh no. Canada. Yeah. No. So there's actually different things. So there's the Canada pension plan, which everybody can get. I think it's age 62, I think you can start to claim it. So I'm a long ways off from that. But my work pension, which is which every public servant in Canada is guaranteed a pension. There's that, which is, I'm not worried about that at all.
So you're a Canadian Fed.
Canadian Fed. Michael, but on the 23rd of April, all the bombs are going to fall, and you're going to be a wasteland scavenger with your shotgun and your German Shepherd roaming around the wasteland. That's your retirement. Enjoy.
I mean, I guess it's not technically unbiblical, right? Because he's not predicting the second coming. You got to meet Mike. That's a lot of static. Technically, he's not predicting the second coming, so I guess... It's not unbiblical. It's just not supported by the Bible whatsoever. But it's not like...
It's also not going to happen.
Well, I believe that. But, it's like, you know, if I predict, like, hey, in the next 2 months, Armageddon will happen. Massive wars will break out. I mean, I could be right. And if I'm right, because, I mean, you know, just reading the tea leaves, it's like, oh, look, I'm right. Oh, now give me all your money. And if I'm wrong, I'll just, like, you know, go underground. But, I mean,
Do you have any idea about this Antichrist stuff? The book of Daniel, we can see the beast. Literally, there is no beast going to come from the sea. But that is a symbolic representation, you know that. But what could be that, which is said in the book of Daniel chapter 7, which is exactly written... In the same way that we can read in the book of Revelation chapter 13 about the same beast, which has four different faces. Do you know
that? So I do have to run, but when the Armageddon does happen, there will be margaritas at my house with the remaining ice left in my freezer that the Yeti will be handing out. And we're just going to sit drink to radiation poisoning. It'll be great.
But Michael won't come because he won't come to America.
I mean, he's gonna be scavenging the wasteland, you know, in Canada. So, but everybody will move south because, like, who wants to live without electricity in Canada? You know, that'd probably be kind of miserable.
Who wants to live without electricity in Florida?
And yet they would not come to me that they may have Mike.
I got enough solar panels on my house and a battery backup generator to run for quite a while, so I'm not worried about that. That's more of that woke stuff, Chris. You don't understand.
Until the Mad Max roaming band comes and kicks you out of your house and eats
right.
you and takes
exactly.
over.
which is also not going to happen.
It's all fun and games which is also if you don't have guns.
Well, now that's a pretty
bold prediction.
Yeah, that's quite bold. Ever?
It's not going to happen.
I mean, all it takes is what? Like what? Doesn't it take like what is it like 7 days? Oh, Adam will know this is a trucker. Like it's like yeah. Like 7 days.
15 days, according to the RAND Corporation. 15 days.
15 days.
15 days. And then everything breaks down. Cannibalism.
Yeah, and then yeah. So it's like what? Yeah. 7 days for produce and stuff. Just like 7 days of no food delivery and stuff like that. No deliveries, and then a total of like 15 days. Like 7 more days plus one after that, and then yeah, people start eating each other.
Yeah, great.
That's atheist science, yeah. Michael.
Yeah, so yeah, I also have. I also get a meat delivery once a year, so I have a freezer full of meat in my fridge. Like, I'm not worried about this stuff.
Hey, great. Michael.
Until the roving
good.
Bands
Michael,
come and take it from you.
Hey, buddy, your fridge of meat. You know, just no reason. But what's your address?
Well, I email you my address, but I'm not going to say it over the air like this.
Like,
don't do that. You may have faith in me not to come try to steal your meat and eat you, but I don't.
No, we.
I mean,
to,
wait.
We
which is better, human or venison?
Of the possible raid spot.
Wait, what? Right?
People like you are going to be raided, Michael.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, we just we're not. You know what's hysterical is for a country that's so full of guns and everything else like that, you guys are so scared of everything and everyone. It's hysterical.
Just prepared. Yeah. There's nothing wrong.
Well, you know, it's hysterical. There are more guns in the U.S. than there are people, and you guys are just wandering around, teeth chattering, knees knocking, afraid of everything.
Just because we want to eat all your food doesn't mean we're scared. We're just being practical.
Yeah, and
pragmatic cannibals.
We know that we have an adversary, the devil, and he's prowling around like a roaring lion.
Yeah, I'm convinced that is as made up as the God in the Bible. Like, it's just like, yeah, there's, I get you believe that stuff, but yeah, I spend as much time worrying about that as I worry about offending Allah or any of the other gods that have been made up by people.
You know what is funny? Ooh, I'm echoing. You know what? Some of the recent coming to Jesus moments, have we talked about that? It's like, I forget some of the prominent people. I remember if it was like Joe Rogan or someone he had on a show or whatever, but it's like some of the like major people that they may not be Christians yet, but they're like very, very cozy with Christians and like, you know, like doing a lot of research and like having lots of people they're talking to in their shows or interviewing about Christianity. But the thing that's like sparking them in this direction is while they may not be believers in like, you know, Christ or Christianity yet, it's like they apparently, reportedly, have like seen such crazy, like their words, evil or like what they think is like demonic stuff that is freaked them out so bad that they're like, okay, I don't know about which religion's right, but I know the devil's real and evil's real and there's demons. And like, I haven't heard anyone go into specific detail, but I mean, it seems like their freak out is pretty legitimate. And it's been like multiple people. I don't know if it was, I don't know, was it Russell Brand and Joe Rogan, like his guests? But
yeah, I think it might have been Russell Brand.
But, well, there's been like four or five of them. I think he was one of them. But yeah, and it's like, I don't know which religion's right yet, but evil is real and the devil's real.
Absolutely. And this is why I was bringing up scripture, right? And to address the point that Michael was making, the reason that it may seem that we're operating in such a fear-based, we don't have fear for anything that is worldly in an ultimate sense, but we know that we have to be alert, be awake by the fact that evil is real and that its final home and original home is the human heart. It's deceitful and wicked above all things. So what we see from the world is exactly what you would expect if scripture were true.
That's a gigantic non sequitur. So I don't think that evil in and of itself is a thing. Like, you can't pour someone a cup of evil, right? So now that doesn't mean that evil people don't exist, sure. But it is a gigantic non sequitur to say evil people exist, therefore God is and the devil is real. That doesn't follow in any way, shape, or form. Like, well, not even so close. Galaxies apart from.
That's the argument that Nate made. I didn't make that argument, but
wait,
I can see it.
Nate didn't make that argument. Hang on. First of all, Nate was just parenting these other guys.
Let me just clarify.
For
the record.
I didn't clarify the last thing. So even parenting these guys, I didn't say their conclusion was evil is real, therefore God must be real. It was like specifically, like if you hear some of the stuff, it was not just evil. It was like demons or devils or like some, they equate it to some kind of like supernatural malevolence. So not just like evil, like someone stabbed people and ate babies, but like a legit like demonic devil supernatural type evil. Just to clarify. And again, this is not my words. This is just from watching these people talk about it. Okay, right. Carry on.
And I apologize. I should not have said that it's Nate who said that. Nate was paraphrasing. But yes, you know, people are the father draws people in all kinds of different ways. For some, it takes an actual exposure to the reality of the existence of the diabolical. That's just how it works for them.
Is this a human who joined? It was the same human. The PTR was different. Okay, I just wanted to see if it was a different person or not.
Hey guys, anyway, just sorry, I gotta go. Just heading into a meeting, but maybe I'll be back in a bit.
All right. Well, before I have to go too, does anyone else have any final thoughts about anything?
Yeah, I was asking you about the Antichrist stuff. Do you believe that that is going to happen or already existing? What is your take on this?
Oh, okay,
John,
yeah.
Chapter 2, verse 22.
Yeah, do you have it? Do you read it?
The Christ, this is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father in the Son.
Oh, yeah, he means like the like actual like capital Antichrist, not just an Antichrist, but like the Antichrist. I believe that whenever you talk about Revelation, though, like going with like the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, like just like there's no quick answer to that. And there's different interpretations. But just going to the Antichrist part. Yes, I think most Christians believe there is one like just
what
like
do you believe not about the most of the Christians. I'm asking about you. What do you take?
No, I'm about to say that. So I am one of the majority of Christians that believe the specific Antichrist. So like Prashant said, anyone that denies Christ is an Antichrist. But the thing you're talking about in Revelation, like, yes, I believe there is an Antichrist, like a singular guy who will be the like con artist Jesus, like the fake Jesus, like the Antichrist. And, you know, the Bible tells us that, I'll tell you how I think the scenario will unfold based on reading the Bible. So there's a lot to unpack. But I believe it will go something like sometime there will be some kind of conflict like in the Middle East, kind of like now, but there's always been conflict. So I'm not saying this is the time, but there will be some kind of conflict in the Middle East and it'll get really, really bad. And it'll either, you know, it'll be some type of like world war, like all kinds of countries will line up and like be fighting. And it looks like it's going to be really, really, really bad. And right before, Jerusalem or Israel gets, like, invaded or destroyed, whenever that happens, I think there will be, like, one guy that somehow gains attention, and everyone says, hey, this guy has a good plan. Let's listen to this guy. And, you know, let's elect him, like, you know, chancellor of the UN or chancellor of, like, an expanded coalition of nations. And he's got a plan for world peace. And then they start talking about, like, this one world government, and they talk about the contention on the Temple Mount. And this guy, for, like, a certain amount of time, the Bible says 7 years is the tribulation, but for like 3.5, this guy's going to present some kind of plan where it's like, hey, let's have peace, let's do all this. And at a certain point, he'll set himself up where the Temple Mount is and declare himself God. And at that point, he'll give everyone a choice to be like, hey, you need to take this mark. And without this mark of the beast, I mean, he may not call it that, but everyone's going to know that's what it is. You can't buy or sell or anything. And for all the people that realize, oh, crap, the Bible is true. I believe there's going to be a rapture and the Christians will be taken out of here before things get bad. But the people who have enough knowledge, like the people who are not Christians that are here every day arguing against Christians, maybe they'll be like, holy crap, the Christians are true. They will know not to take that mark, which means they're going to die. But for everyone else who takes that mark, they're basically guaranteed that hell is going to be their eternal home. And at that point, he's going to say he's God. He's going to say, hey, fall down and worship me. And for all those that refuse, they're going to die. That's how it goes. And then, you know, the other 3.5 years of like tribulation hell,
then
after there's this peace treaty get broken.
Yeah, that one is clear.
That's what I think. So, yeah, I mean, the answer to your question is yes, I do believe there's one specific Antichrist.
There is There is another person by the name. It is referred as the Beast.
You're cutting out beast. Pretty bad.
Who can be? Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah.
The Beast.
You're cutting out.
And then.
Yeah, you're cutting out pretty bad. But as far as the Beast, like, I'm not sure about that. So I mean, some may think it's the devil, some may think it's something else. But by the time the whole picture is done, you basically have the unholy trinity. So you have, you know, Satan, you have the beast or the false prophet, and you have the Antichrist. So about the beast, like different people have different interpretations, but this false prophet, whatever that is, could be like a right-hand man or like a secretary of some kind. I don't know. The Bible's not as clear about that, and people will have all kinds of interpretations. So I personally think, since again, none of this is salvation issues, you can think and research whatever you want. And, you know, hold your theory that you think is most accurate. You know, keep that in your mind, but also withhold judgment on being like, well, it has to be this one specific thing because the Bible is not that clear. It gives a general overview. But again, the last thing I'll say is the Bible is very clear about the thing that does matter, which is receive eternal life from Jesus, and you will never have to worry about this.
Again, there's a problem, Nate. The human beings with the limited understanding, the limited comprehension, with the limited spiritual faculties, no one is able to understand what really is happening. Even you accepted that the Bible is not revealing fully or not capable of giving that insight in certain areas. In that case, we are going to face something which is very detrimental. I have a study about that.
Well, unfortunately, like I said, I do have to go, but no, I would push back on that all day just because the Bible doesn't say something. I mean, you can say it's incapable because it doesn't say something, but that's wrong. Like, if God wanted us to know all this stuff, he would certainly include it in the Bible. So if that's what you're saying, then I guess fine, sure, whatever. But instead of saying, oh, it's incapable, as if God can't do something, I mean, we believe he told us everything we need. So if we needed to know specifically this stuff, then I'm sure he would have included it, but we don't. And it's like, you know, the Bible makes a claim, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if God, you know, wrote down every single thing that would happen, or if God somehow, like, you know, proved himself, like the way most people say they want him to be proven to them, well, then they would know God existed, or they would know everything to a level that they know God existed. But then it's like, well, now you know he exists, but you can't have faith because you know everything. It's been given to you. So if you can't have faith, you can't please God. So congratulations, you got what you wanted, which is you now know God exists, but you're an enemy with him because you can't please him because you can't have faith. So, I mean, that's like one of those things, like giving someone what they want instead of what they need. So if you must have faith to please God, then it makes sense how some of the stuff, especially stuff that doesn't matter for salvation, would not be detailed. And one more thing, in the book of John, it talks about how just the miracles of Jesus, it says like there wouldn't be enough pages to contain like all the works Jesus alone did during his time on earth. So can you imagine if there, and you could say it's hyperbole or whatever, just there wasn't that much paper in the region to write down, or they didn't have access to it. But whatever you can say, the point is there's a lot of details that Jesus did that were not recorded. So if there were lots of details about the end of days or about Moses and all these other people, you'd have a book that's very fair to say would be so big you couldn't pick it up. I mean, it'd probably be so big it wouldn't even fit in your car to like buy it at a bookstore for like $6,000 and drive it home in your car. So, I mean, there's just some practicality that even the most ardent atheist, not saying you are, I don't know what you are, but just saying the most ardent opponent of Christianity should be able to be like, you know what, that makes sense. But I appreciate you being here, but I do have to run. I'm actually meeting someone from Clubhouse for lunch today. So if you guys don't hear from me, see if I'm in Pastor Mark's trunk.
Fantastic. Hey, human, I've shared a link in the room chat. I think you'd find it very helpful. It's 41 sermons covering the entirety of the book of Revelation, if you want it from a biblically based perspective.
Yeah, check that out, guys, if you want. It's a few chats up. Prashant posted in the chat. It's the websermonaudio.com/broadcasters/covenant-opc/series/ 169174 for those people who can't read it, who are listening later. So, yeah. Thanks, Prashant.
So, Nate, I hopped off. Did we discover anything about Atlantis?
We did not. So that'll be another day, but I have to run. Take care, and I'll see you guys all later.